Some facts you should know about Planned Parenthood, coming up next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to the program. As usual, we're joined by Janet Moran, our Associate Director. And today we have our good friend Mark Crutcher, President and Founder of Life Dynamics, from where we tape these programs. Mark, good to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
We're going to talk about Planned Parenthood here on this particular segment. And Janet, of course, Mark, you've done a lot of research and infiltration, and as well as some educational materials that we'll talk about later on. And Janet, you recently did an interview with someone who's done some research on Planned Parenthood. Tell us about that.
Yeah, her name is Angela Franks, and she's based in Washington, D.C., where she had access to actually the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger's, papers from the Library of Congress. And so she did extensive research, and recently I had the opportunity to interview her on the background, like who was Margaret Sanger, what did she stand for? And because very often when people hear the phrase Planned Parenthood, it sounds like this is a good place to go. And I think after we watch this interview, we'll have a little bit different perspective.
Okay, well, let's watch the interview with Angela Franks about Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood.
A friend of mine asked me, what can we say for sure about Margaret Sanger? What do we know about her eugenic beliefs? Because there's been a lot of things written by pro-lifers over the past 20 years, and there's been questions about how accurate it was. I was in Washington, D.C. Margaret Sanger's papers were right there at the Library of Congress, and so I just started to investigate just for my own curiosity and kept investigating, and 8 years later it became a book. Margaret Sanger was born in 1879 and she died in 1966. She was a nurse practitioner, and the reason we know her is that she was the founder of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America. She established the nation's first birth control clinic in 1916 in a poor immigrant neighborhood of New York. And that Planned Parenthood claims its descent from that first birth control clinic. Sanger spent a lot of time in the bohemian Marxist Greenwich Village world of the turn of the century, and she was very much a sexual revolutionary. She believed that women should be able to have many lovers, and she knew that female fertility very much inconveniences this sort of lifestyle. And so she believed that women were oppressed not by sexist societal structures, not by, for example, not having the right to vote, but actually they were oppressed by their own bodies, by their own fertility. And the only way that women could be free was to control that fertility. And so she coined, or at least promulgated, the term birth control. That was her idea, because for her, contraception was all about control. Margaret Sanger advocated what I call an ideology of control. That means that there were three types of control that she believed were necessary in it to promote women and to promote the world in general. The first was birth control, the second was eugenic control, and the third was population control. And the three of these were intertwined. She was a eugenicist. It's clear if you read her writings, it's present in her public writings and her private writings. She said in 1921 that her work was nothing more or less than the facilitation of the process of weeding out the unfit. And of course, unfit is a term that eugenicists use to designate those people that they believe should not be reproducing, who shouldn't be perpetuating their genes. So Sanger believed that completely when she details the list of those groups that she believes are so-called unfit. You never find racial categories there. She never talks about blacks or Jews or anything like that. What you do find is the poor, which is very common among eugenicists. And of course, we all know that, especially in Sanger's day and still today, racial minorities tend to be disproportionately more impoverished than the white majority. And Sanger's eugenic beliefs, while they didn't directly target blacks, unfortunately, I think, impacted them very strongly, because she would look at the poor, and among which were many racial minorities, and target that group for birth control, maybe for forced sterilization. If there is one group that she continually directed almost irrational and venomous hatred towards, it was Catholics. She hated Catholics. And the very sad thing is that her mother was Catholic. Her father was a sort of amateur socialist and never allowed the children to be baptized. But we know from parish records that Margaret went and had herself secretly baptized when she was 12. We don't know why, and we don't know how she felt about it later in life, because we haven't found that in the documentary evidence. But she later in life absolutely hated Catholics with a bitter hatred. She talked about the fact that, you know, they disproportionately filled the world's jails. You know, as a group, she really believed they were unfit eugenically. Some people say somewhat erroneously that she was pro-life, because in many of her public writings, especially very early in the 19-teens and 20s, she says, we are not interested in taking life, we're interested in preventing it. And publicly she emphasized that she was not promoting abortion, because this was certainly not going to fly in the public at that point in time. But she didn't consider abortion part of her campaign. I think that in her heart of hearts she thought abortion was for those who were too unintelligent to use birth control. But she had no moral problem with abortion, and she speaks approvingly of some other countries like Japan that had liberal abortion laws before the United States, and says, look how advanced they are. I think the best quote that pro-lifers should use, because it's from Sanger's own writings, of course, is everything, but it's also really gets to the heart of what she's talking about, is the one I mentioned earlier, that she said in 1921 that her work is nothing more or less than the facilitation of the process of weeding out the unfit, of preventing the birth of defectives or of those who will become defective. So she herself acknowledges that this is the core of her work, that this is what she wants to do. She also says around the same time that possibly drastic and Spartan methods might be needed by society in order to prevent the reproduction of the unfit. And the reason that is so helpful is because it indicates her support for forced and coerced sterilization. And she says around the same time that government needs to intervene either by force or by persuasion in order to prevent the so-called unfit from reproducing. And all of those phrases are a reference to the practice of forced eugenic sterilization, which the Supreme Court in 1927 decided was legal in the Buck versus Bell decision. That was sort of the Roe v. Wade of the 1920s. Supreme Oliver Wendell Holmes said in his decision, three generations of imbeciles are enough. States are, it's constitutional for states to forcibly sterilize its citizens if the states deem these people to be supposedly unfit. And Sanger fully supported that. In the 30s, she advocated a pension fund for the so-called unfit, for the state to pay people, mostly the poor and the supposedly unintelligent, to essentially bribe them into being sterilized. I think those are very important facts that the American public needs to know. They need to know that this attitude is behind the founder of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood today is the nation's largest abortion chain. In 2004, it did over 255,000 abortions. And this number has been going steadily up. They've been doing more and more abortions as the overall number of abortions in America has gone down. So Planned Parenthood is up to the point now where it does 1 in 5 of the nation's abortions. It is fully committed to abortion. It lobbies in states against parental notice laws. It lobbies against partial birth abortion laws. It aggressively promotes abortion in its material, on its websites, and in its clinics.
Well, Mark, what do you think about what Angela's research has shown?
She has brought out some things that I've talked about in the past, and I'm glad to see that someone else has picked up on this, too. The pro-life movement, I think, has made a mistake in some regards in that it projects Margaret Sanger as a racist. I've never seen anything that suggested she was just an overt racist. She was a eugenicist, mm-hmm. and that has racial components to it. But I've never seen anything where she said, you know, I think we ought to eliminate black people, or I think we ought to eliminate Hispanic people, or anything like that. It was always what she called the unfit. And in some ways, that, because it has that racial component to it, it's even worse than if she was just a pure racist. You can deal with that. And I think it's really interesting, and I've challenged people to do this. The next time you see Planned Parenthood having a function of some sort, they have one here in Dallas every year, a big banquet that they put on, and it's basically a fundraising effort. Go stand in front, the front door of the large, nice hotel, and it'll always be at a very upscale, expensive hotel. Stand there and look at the nature of the people that are coming in. They're always going to be extraordinarily wealthy white people. And it's not that Planned Parenthood puts their clinics in minority neighborhoods because they want to get rid of minorities. It's because they want to get rid of the what they call the unfit, the poor. And it's beyond the pale to believe that all these rich white people are coming there to help these poor people. They're not. They're coming there to get rid of them. That's what this is all about. And let's make no bones about it. That's what Planned Parenthood is about. It's creating a world in which the so-called chosen people are the wealthy and the everyone else that you allow to live and you allow to survive are there to serve these wealthy people.
We often say that Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in the nation, and it seems that there's a trend now as a lot of these other independent abortion mills go out of business for one reason or another. Planned Parenthood is picking up the slack, and they're increasing their abortion business, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Planned Parenthood has made no bones about the fact that they want to be the nation's abortionist. And what we're seeing is the shrinking of the pool of what are called independent abortion mills around the country. They've dropped dramatically over the last few years. But Planned Parenthood has increased. And there is kind of it's not a price war usually, although sometimes that has happened.
Yeah.
But there is competition within the abortion industry, not between them and us, but between themselves. So Planned Parenthood goes in there into a given community with the express purpose of putting the other abortion providers out of business.
Right.
So they can take over in that area.
Right.
You know, I've heard studies about that, in particular with birth control pills, because Planned Parenthood is such a big conglomerate that they go right to the pharmaceuticals and they get a cheaper price. Then, you know, if someone goes to their private doctor and gets a prescription, or say an abortion clinic wants to give a prescription or something, or give some birth control, well, Planned Parenthood is getting it so cheap that no one else can compete with them.
Right. And there's an interesting point we need to make about this issue of birth control pills. Their own director back in the 50s, they had done a study looking at the relationship between birth control and abortion. They found that the highest instance of abortion occurred among the people that were using birth control. Planned Parenthood goes out in the public and says, we're not in the business to provide abortions, we're in the business to provide choices, and abortion is one of them. But we want to reduce the abortion rate, that's why we're so involved with birth control. The reality is, birth control is what provides the customers for their abortion clinics. Make no mistake about it. They understand something that's very interesting here, because they studied it back in the 50s. When you push contraception-based birth control, you increase the incidence of sexual activity higher than you increase the use of the birth control. And the gap between those two is an increase in abortions. Because if you increase sexual activity at a greater rate than you increase the use of birth control pills or any other method of birth control, then you're going to have more pregnancies. And that's what their study showed back in the 50s and 60s. And yet they became the nation's number one pill pusher for birth control. And I think people are being very naive if they believe that here's an industry that makes millions, hundreds of millions a year off abortion, and they're going to do something to lower the abortion rate. The parallel would be here, General Motors coming out saying, we're going to do something to lower people's transportation cost. We are going to encourage people to buy fewer new cars. I mean, obviously we'd see through that, wouldn't we? I would hope we'd be smart enough to see through that. But that is precisely what Planned Parenthood asked us to believe, that they're pushing birth control in order to reduce the number of abortions when they're the nation's number one abortion profiteer.
Yeah. You know, I know in some communities, Planned Parenthood poses themselves as the friend of the community, you know, family practice kind of place. Children, you can come for your well care checkups for the children and get the free shots. And I think what happens is when we in the pro-life movement expose Planned Parenthood, then other people who don't know all these facts say, well, why are you attacking them? Because we can get our shots for our kids. We can, you know, it's kind of like they're wolf in sheep's clothing, things like that. They put themselves out there as being good for the community.
Oh, yeah, and they'll do that again in the issue of birth control. They'll say, well, look, a large percentage of the birth control that we provide for free. We have sliding scales, or if indigent people come in, we'll give them the birth control for free. That is an out-and-out lie. They don't provide anything for free, because anything they provide for no cost to the consumer gets charged to the government. So they don't provide anything for free. Don't ever let them get away with telling that lie. And the reason, Janet, that they go into these communities and they'll do things like pap smears and other, you know, breast exams and things like that is because they're trying to incorporate abortion into mainstream medicine. The abortion industry is very out front that one of their biggest failings over the last 30 years or so has been their inability to mainstream abortion. And that's what this is all about. If you can say, here's the nation's number one abortion provider, and they're part of the mainstream of American medicine, then abortion by default is part of mainstream medicine. And that's what this is all about. They don't care about pap smears or breast exams or cancer screenings or any of that other nonsense. It's simply a way, it's a Trojan horse. It's simply a way to mainstream abortion.
And when you say government money, that's the Title X money they get,
well,
right?
They get it through several different programs. But,
right.
Yeah, this idea that they provide anything for free is preposterous. They don't. They get paid for everything they do. It's just a matter, they may not get paid for it by the customer who's using it, the end user, but they get paid for it by someone.
You have some brochures that people can use to educate their community about Planned Parenthood that are
One of them that you're talking about is this racial issue. We have brochures we call Planned Parenthood, and we have another one called Choice Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing that those are really starting to catch hold, and especially among the minority community.
Mm-hmm.
When they start having the scales, so to speak, taken off their eyes and they're seeing what's happened, just to give you one example, black women account for less than 13% of all American women, but they have over 35% of the abortions. Abortion since Roe versus Wade has wiped out more African Americans than all other causes combined.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to wake up to this, that they have been deceived by these people.
Yes.
And that's a good thing. We're starting to see more and more of that.
Well, if they contact us, then our viewers can get these brochures through Life Dynamics or from Gospel of Life.
That's right. They can. And they can go on ProLifeAmerica.com, the website that has both of our websites on it. So it's a one-stop shopping place, so to speak. So, you know, you both of us maintain several different websites, and it's hard for people to remember all those. So you and I went together and created ProLifeAmerica.com is the portal,
They
go there, they can find anything they need.
Yeah, exactly. And, thanks, Mark, for all that you're doing to expose Planned Parenthood and for being on the program with us today.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you, Janet. And brothers and sisters, go to that website, ProLifeAmerica.com, because you'll also find there then further links that will bring you to helpful organizations that likewise are exposing what Planned Parenthood is doing and giving practical advice to communities on how to stop it. In particular, Stop Planned Parenthood, an organization headed by Jim Sedlak, has been doing marvelous work over the years. I'd also finally like to point out, you saw in Angela's interview how she mentioned the hatred that Margaret Sanger expressed for Catholics. And indeed, the whole philosophy of Planned Parenthood about human sexuality and about what people should be able to do in their sexual lives is contradicted by the entire body of Catholic teaching and of Christian teaching generally about what the human body is all about and the fact that human sexuality cannot be understood outside of God. Let us continue to work and pray that people will come to a true understanding of what human sexuality and what human life are really all about. Stay with us for our action segment.
It's positive. I'm pregnant.
My boyfriend panicked,
and I was worried what my family would say.
I just didn't know what to do.
If you're facing an unplanned pregnancy, you have options. You don't have to be alone. Call 1-800-395-HELP. Our services are totally confidential and free. If you're pregnant, call now. There is help.
a teacher. I want to be president of the United States.
I want to find a cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares. You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in Haley, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Welcome to our action segment. The single most important activity, the one most effective that we have found for people to do to advance the pro-life message, is to help and challenge people to look at what an abortion actually looks like by showing them the pictures of the aborted babies.
That's right. You know, the word abortion has lost all meaning in society, and so that's why we need to show these images. As you always say, Father, America will not reject abortion until America sees abortion. While we can't rely on the media to show the most common surgical procedure in the United States, we can't rely on them to show that on TV, we have to challenge people to look at these images of what an abortion is.
So we're going to ask people to do something very simple. On our website at gospeloflife.com/images, there are galleries of these photos. What we're asking people to do is, by way of their emails, by way of their publications, by way of just speaking to other people one-on-one, challenge people to go to that link and look at those images, especially if it's somebody that says he or she is pro-choice.
Right.
Say, look, take a look at the choice that you're saying you agree with, and then let's come back and talk.
Right, let's make sure we're talking about the same thing,
right,
or you know what the choice really represents.
Right.
And when they go to that website, I'd first like to encourage them to look at the unborn child. We have beautiful images of that unborn child. See the humanity of that unborn child, and then look to see what abortion does to destroy that child.
Yes.
The contrast is just unforgettable. It'll really make you realize how damaging, how wrong abortion really is.
Well, and for those that are not convinced about how these images do change people's minds, we have a sampling on our website of the numerous testimonies that we've received from email and from letters of people who have, in fact, changed their minds. They have all kinds of emails coming through that say, oh, I was pro-choice until I came across these pictures, and now I'm 100% pro-life. Or people who say, well, I was always pro-life, but once I saw these pictures, I decided I wasn't doing enough about it, so now I want to get more engaged. It is really, really powerful. Now, young people, especially going into internet discussion rooms, for example, or just sending out to their friends by email, can make this a project. Say, I want to get as many as people as possible to go to this these pictures and look at them.
And it can be very simple. To every email message you send out, why not put that little challenge as a footer?
As a footer,
that's
yes.
There with every message, challenging people to go and see the images.
And if you have a website, make a link to those pictures and say, here's a pro-life challenge. Take a look at these pictures and then tell us what you think about abortion.
That's right. Now, in addition to the unborn child images and the same child being aborted, we also have pictures of the actual procedure, both the first and second trimester. Procedure. And these are pictures that are not done by our organization or some other pro-life organization. These diagrams were done by a medical professional company called
right.
Nucleus Medical Arts.
Yes.
They do the diagrams for textbooks, for surgeons,
right.
for medical schools, for
right.
people who are studying procedures.
And for lawyers in when they have to present in court. About a medical
That's
procedure.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to talk about, abortion, you know, well, I wouldn't want it being in late terms, but I think in the first trimester a woman should have a right to have an abortion. I challenge you to go up there and look at the diagram. See what a first trimester abortion is. See how it tears that child apart and see the invasive procedure that is being performed on that woman, and then see, are you still in favor of that choice?
Because we know that in other movements, when the horror of slavery or child labor or segregation was being exposed, people used the pictures to expose the violence and make the victim visible.
Again, go to gospeloflife.com/images and do it today.
Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us on this program. And we need your help to support this kind of work. If you like what we're doing and you enjoy these programs, consider sending us a donation to Gospel of Life. We'll appreciate that, and so will the babies whose lives will be saved thanks to your generosity. We're also grateful to our friends at Life Dynamics for making this program possible. We use their studios, and their staff helps us in the production. And we also ask you to be in contact with us. Send us your questions. Tell us what you're doing together, and God bless you.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Happy birthday to you.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Some defend the practice of legal abortion by using the slogan, freedom of choice. The sad irony is, women don't get abortions because of freedom of choice. They get them because they feel they have no freedom and no choice. They feel trapped, abandoned, desperate, afraid. And sadly, they feel there's no one to help them except the abortionist. The good news is that the pro-life movement and the church are ready to provide better choices than abortion. No one has to abort her child in order to solve her problems. Would you help to spread that good news? Tell people who may be in those situations of a pregnancy they feel they cannot handle that there is a better choice and the pro-life movement is ready to offer. Friends, as we conclude our program, may I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell other people about Gospel of Life. Tell them when these programs air so that they can tune in and learn more about the pro-life movement. Secondly, we like to hear from you. On our website, gospeloflife.com, you can even send us your prayer requests, and our entire ministry team will be more than happy to lift up your concerns and intentions before the throne of God. Thirdly, we're eager and ready to come to your community, to preach in your churches, to gather with your pro-life groups, and to help inspire you in the pro-life cause. And finally, we ask you to donate so that we can keep these programs on the air. You can send your tax-deductible contributions to us at Gospel of Life Ministries. Again, go to our website, and thank you.